gates locked and kids have to be buzzed in. But early in the morning like this, when the janitors and the folks who do the cooking are just making their way in, the door is unlocked. We all meet by the side of the building and make sure it's clear before we go in. I'm trying to tell Char I don't think I want to do this, but she ain't listening. She's telling me to be quiet and to get going inside. Raina, as stupid as she is, lets the door slam shut behind us. "Who's there?" the janitor yells from one of the classrooms. We don't move. All four of us stand there like dummies ready to be caught. Lucky for us, the janitor ain't much worried. He doesn't bother to come and see what's the matter. He just turns up his portable radio and starts singing. We laugh and tiptoe down the hallway right past the classroom where he is cleaning. Maybe this won't be so bad, I think. Then we run up the steps. Char's high heels sounded like hammers banging nails whenever she takes a step. You would think Miss Saunders would lock up her room like the other teachers do. But she doesn't. She told us once that this was our school, and we needed to take responsibility for it. That if things got destroyed, it was us that missed out, not nobody else. Miss Saunders has redone her classroom, like she does for every new book we take on. Monday we start Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. Her classroom has got about 100 ribbons hanging from the ceiling. Sheer puffy curtains are tacked to the walls. The room is full of purples, pinks, and greens. All of them colors and curtains make the room look soft and safe. Our desks are pushed up against the back wall, and lots of pillows, like they sit on in them Arabian movies, are scattered all over the place. Char throws herself down on the pillows and stretches out like she's gonna be here a while. Maybe we should go, I say. Miss Saunders has just done the room over. She's gonna kill us for messing it up. Char rolls her eyes my way. Payback has got to cost something, she says, laughing. I take a long, deep breath and look down at my clothes. I'm wearing the ones Mama made. Char's got a bag in her hand with the clothes she's gonna give me today. I want to tell her to keep the stuff, but I keep my mouth shut and take the bag. The twins are the first to go into Miss Saunders' desk. Raisa grabs a bottle of glue and swirls a design on a red velvet pillow. Then she takes the gooey pillow and smears it across the windows and walls. Char lets out a low, mean laugh and reaches up and yanks some curtains down. She tells Raisa to hand her the scissor. Then she jabs holes in the curtains. Raisa and Raina stab the pillows, pull out the stuffing, and toss the feathers around the room. Nobody notices me for a long while. I'm standing by the door, staring, till Char says, "Get over here, Malika. You're in on this, too." I have to do something. They'll think I'm chicken if I don't. So I get Miss Saunders' grade book out of the desk. Her watch is sitting there, ticking loud as a clock. I close the drawer and erase a bunch of D's in the book. I put A's in their place. "Is that it, Malika?" Char says. "You gotta do better than that. Get over here." She takes a lighter out of her pocket and hands it to me. She tells me to burn the pile of money on the table. It's not the kind of money we use in this country. It's some foreign money, with puffy-headed kings and queens wearing tall collars. "I want all that money gone," Char says, heading back for the desk and digging around inside. I don't move. I stand real still. "You hear me talking?" Char asks. She digs around in the desk drawer, shoves something in her pocket, and dumps the drawer on the floor. "This ain't right," I whisper. Char grabs hold of my hand and says, "Do it or I ain't never gonna bring you no clothes." I shake my head. No.
You protect him, Miss Saunders?
Char wants to know.
You protecting that hussy?
Why? She don't like you neither. All the time making a fool out of you in class. You stupid girl. Do like I say, or I'll do something to mess you up. I don't say nothing. Even though Miss Saunders and I didn't hit it off right away, she is still a teacher, I tell Char. She still runs the show. Char grabs hold of my shoulder blade and squeezes till my knees get weak. Like I said, I will jack you up, girl. Do you hear me? While Char's pinching my shoulder, she takes her baby finger and sticks it up her nose like a plug in a sink. She blows hard, sending a bunch of snot splattering over the money. Do what I say, or I'm gonna do worse yet, she says, flicking her lighter's flame close to my head. I stare Char in the eyes. Mama always says you can tell a person by their eyes. Char's eyes don't have no life to them. They're cold and hard, like flat black skipping rocks you find at the bottom of the creek. I shake my head. No, I ain't doing it, I say softly. But Char squeezes my shoulder so hard, I hear my bones creak. I grab the lighter with my other hand and set the money on fire. The kings and queens curl up, turn black, and disappear. There's nothing but ashes on the table. Char lets me loose and heads over to the twins. I'm crying in the corner, wishing I could undo this whole school year. Wishing I could go back to being who I was, not somebody's fool. I'm rubbing my arm when I hear something popping and sizzling. It's the curtains on the wall. They're on fire. Girl, you in trouble now, Char says to me, her eyes wide. Shh, Raisa says, peeking out the door. Somebody's out there. It's the janitor. He's around the corner, heading our way. I'm out of here, Char says. She's the first to run. I'm the last. I'm grabbing hold of the bag of clothes she brought me. When I pick it up, the bag rips and the clothes fall out. I'm shoving them back in and trying to run at the same time. Clothes are dropping with every step I take. The janitor is yelling my name. Malika! Malika Madison! What you doing here? Oh, my Lord! What have you done, girl? I run down the steps, two at a time. I fall down and bust open my knee. When I'm out of the building, Char and the twins ain't nowhere in sight. It's just me out there, and fire engines from the station house around the corner coming to undo what I just done. Rain is coming down and plucking me on the head. I look left, then right, and finally run home, crying my eyes out. Chapter 26. I can hardly get the key in the lock. My hands are shaking, shaking like crazy. I hold the key with my steady hand, but I still drop it. Miss Jackson, our neighbor, has a bunch of dogs that are barking like mad, growling like they want to come tear me to pieces. Where's that key? I scream in my head. My knee is still bleeding while I'm crawling around looking for the key. When Miss Jackson sticks her head out the window, shushing them dogs, I keep real still, still as stone. Miss Jackson's looking to see why her dogs are so excited. She misses seeing me and slams her window shut. Them dogs know I'm here, though. They start barking again, jumping against the fence like they're trying to knock it down and come for me. Them dogs would eat you alive if they could. I finally find the key, but then I drop it again.
How am I going to explain this to Mama? Tell her I set fire to a classroom. Finally, I let myself inside. I take off my shoes, put them near the couch, then head upstairs, real slow. But them old wooden steps, they talk. Every time I set foot on one, it tells on me. They creak like crazy. So I step real soft. I put my foot down easy as a baby going down for a nap. I get 3 steps out of the way. 4, 5. Mama is still snoring. 9. I hear Mama turning over, talking in her sleep. 10. The last step. Almost home free. My heart is beating hard. My breath is coming out of me like I just run 10 blocks. The last step is the worst. It creaks the loudest. I walk right on past Mama's room. Then the phone rings. Rings louder than I ever heard it before. And here I am, standing in the hall right next to Mama's bedroom. I hurry up and get in my room. I grab hold of the phone and peel off my clothes at the same time. "Your mama up, girl?" Miss Jackson says. "Oh, my God," I think, kicking my clothes under the bed. Big Mouth Jackson seen everything. "No, Miss Jackson. Mama's knocked out of sleep. Better call back later," I say. Mama comes out of nowhere. "How am I gonna sleep with all this racket?" she says, scaring me so bad I almost drop the phone. I swallow hard. "Is that phone for me?" Mama grabs the phone and starts fussing with Miss Jackson. Miss Jackson can't hear too good, so Mama is yelling. It sounds like Mama promised to take her to the doctor on her day off tomorrow. Miss Jackson's got the wrong day and wants Mama to take her this morning. But Mama tells her she's working today. They start to argue. Mama's talking to me and Miss Jackson at the same time. "Turn over and go back to sleep," Mama says to me, fixing my covers. I turn over and promise God that if he gets me out of this mess, I will never do anything like this again. Mama starts to say something else to me, but she's too busy arguing with Miss Jackson. Chapter 27. Mama found out what I'd done. I ain't never gonna get off punishment. That's what Mama says. She walked me all the way from the school security guard's office to our house. I got suspended at school. Every time Mama thought about that, she walked me again. I was so embarrassed. Mama never hit me before, not till today. Mama can't hardly talk or look at me. She's been crying all day. She doesn't even go to work, play the numbers, or look at the stocks. She just talks to the neighbors and cries. I stay upstairs as long as I can. When my stomach starts hurting, I head downstairs to get something to eat. "You want some of my tea?" Mama asks. I didn't drink it yet. She pushes her cup over to me and sits there a while, rubbing my hands with her warm, soft fingers. We both start crying. "I didn't mean for it to happen, Mama," I say. "Shh," she says. Then she comes over to me and holds me in her arms and rocks me like she did when I was little. "Malika, I've been thinking all day how to undo what you done, how to pay the school back, how to get you to tell me who put you up to this. Look at my arms," she says, rolling up her dress sleeves. They're covered with tiny red bumps. So is her neck and one of her ears.
Tiny bumps break out on every part of Mama's body when her nerves get the best of her. Most times, I put lotion on them to make them stop itching. I've been thinking all day, trying to figure out how to raise $2,000 to pay for the damages. The more I thought about it, the more I broke out in bumps, she says, scratching. Then she goes on. She talks so calm and peaceful. She says she realizes that I'm not gonna learn nothing from her trying to save me. You gotta think that you're worth saving, baby. Gotta realize that who you are is all you got. Mama says that she believes that someone as smart as me can figure her way out of this mess, no matter how big it is. Me? I'm scared to death. I'm begging Mama not to do this to me. I'm crying, wiping snot and tears away. I'm following Mama out of the kitchen, asking her to talk to the teachers and make this thing right again. But Mama ain't having it. She turns on the hallway light and heads upstairs. I try not to cry, but I can't help it. Mama ain't being fair. I want to remind her that when Daddy died, I was there for her. How come she can't be here for me now? But when Mama makes up her mind, there ain't no use in trying to change it. $2,000. She knows I can't get money like that. I'm thinking about how I can make me some money. But before I can think on him too much, the phone rings. It's Charlize. She wants to know if I told on her. No, I say, but that don't mean I ain't gonna. Malika, hang up that phone. You know you on restriction, Mama says from the bathroom. All right, Mama, I call, acting like I'm hanging up. I lower my voice and tell Char I gotta go. But she keeps on talking. I can't get in no more trouble, she says. Last time I cut the roof on that teacher's car, they said I would be expelled from school if I did anything like that again. Well, I'm already suspended, I say. Why should I get in trouble by myself? I said we should leave the school. Why didn't you listen? I say. What I want to tell Char is, so what if she gets kicked out of school? She's too old for seventh grade anyhow. But I don't say nothing. Char's sister Juju is gonna pay her $400 if she gets herself through seventh grade this time. Char don't want to lose that kind of cash. No way. Char admits that she should have listened to me, but it's too late now. She just wants to know if she can count on me keeping my mouth shut. If I do, she says, she will bring me even better clothes to wear. I don't know what to do. Ain't no need for all of us to get in trouble. Bad enough I got caught. Y'all gonna help me pay this money back? I ask.
Yeah, we got your back, girlfriend,
Char says. Then,
so you won't tell? We in the clear, the twins and me?
She asks before she hangs up. Char knows me. She knows that she can trust me to keep quiet, not to squeal. Yeah, y'all in the clear, as long as you help pay back the cash, I tell her. Char says she will talk to the twins tomorrow at school. She'll call me later and let me know what they say. Then Char says,
you're my girl, Malika. I knew I could count on you.
Dear Diary, remember the acorn. Even when you don't see it growing, it's pushing past the dirt. Reaching for the sun, growing stronger. Malika. I look at the words on that paper. They sound good, all right, but are they true? I don't feel no stronger or braver today than I did a few weeks back. This is stupid, I think, grabbing hold of the page and ripping it out the diary. Then I ball that mess up and throw it in the trash can. Chapter 28. Mama's making me go to Sam's store around the corner, even though he ain't never got half the stuff Mama needs or wants. I think she's doing it on purpose to embarrass me. She just needs some eggs and a slab of bacon for breakfast, she says.
Yeah, right.
I tell her I will get sweets to go with me.
Mama says forget about it.
She wants only me to go and then come right back home and not take my own sweet time getting back. When I go outside, everybody's on their front stoops. Kids, mothers, fathers, cousins. And it seems like everybody's out there to ask me what happened and why a smart girl like me didn't know any better. When I get around the corner and see John John's face, I know the day can't do nothing but get worse.
"Ooh,"
he says, strutting across the street like he's cool. "You did it now. They ain't letting you back in school, are they?" John John's smiling. He's happy as can be. The worse things are for me, the better some folks like it. John John's one of those people. I keep on stepping and counting cracks in the sidewalk while I walk. John John offers me some gum. No way am I taking anything from him.
"Least you keeping your mouth shut,"
he says, chewing on the gum. "Squealing on your friends ain't even cool." I stop walking and stare him down. Ain't nobody to squeal on. I done it by myself.
"You don't have the guts," he says. "They got the right person to pin it on, too. We all know you don't have guts enough to tell."
Me and John John are walking to the store side by side. I ain't talking, ain't even looking at him. Just walking, eyes down, legs pumping, brain busy thinking about all the mess I'm in. So I don't see some boys coming. They just show up all of a sudden, crowding in on me and John John, blocking out the sun with their big selves. They're after John John. They say his big mouth got one of them busted for shoplifting. Next thing I know, they're whopping down on John John. I'm screaming in my head, but nothing's coming out of my mouth. John John's little short arms are stretched out, and his hands are balled up, and he's hitting back as best he can. But they're still three against one. John John's losing, big time. Nobody on the street is doing nothing to help him. They're just watching. John John's already got a busted lip. His left eye is swollen, and water, maybe tears, is running out of the right one. I'm standing there shaking my hands and arms like I'm fanning myself dry. John John falls to the ground and covers his head with his arms. Those boys are stomping John John good. Finally, I find my voice. I yell for somebody to call the cops, but folks just stare. I yell some more. Somebody runs inside their house. Blood! I see blood! John John, he ain't saying nothing. Ain't moving neither. All of a sudden, I'm remembering how those other boys messed with me on that day after Juju's party, and all of a sudden, it's like my body's taking orders from somebody else. I'm running across the street and reaching into some overgrown bushes in front of the house on the corner. I'm pulling and pulling on one of them branches to make me a good switch. I break a few branches loose and run my hand up and down them to get the leaves off. Then I go back to John John. One of them boys is looking at me, daring me to use the branches. My heart is hurting my chest, hurting it bad. My hands are burning from yanking and peeling back them leaves. My throat is so dry, it's burning too. John John, he's laying there still getting beat. Next thing I know, I'm hitting them boys. The first boy that I hit yells like a baby. His arm swells up quick. He gets himself off John John fast and comes for me. I keep swinging, swinging and sweating and praying for the police to come. I hear their sirens getting closer. Them next two boys are off John John now, and all of them are coming for me. Coming. I drop that switch and I close my eyes. One boy's got his hands around my arm and squeezing it. The other one's is cursing me good. I'm praying as hard as I can them police get here now. Only I don't hear no siren no more. They gone to somebody else's house, I think. Gone and left me here to die. Them boys saying they're gonna beat me worse than they beat John. I ain't saying nothing. My eyes are closed and pee is about to pour out of me like water. Then I hear some other people talking. Grown-ups. All of a sudden, I hear a pop and a slap. And them boys let me loose and start running. When I open my eyes, they're halfway down the block. And Caleb's standing there. Him and his mama and a whole bunch of grown-ups from the block. It seems like they come right out of thin air. Ain't gonna have no girls being beat half to death. Not around here, some old man says. They got brooms and bats and a shovel. Caleb, he's helping John up, telling him he can come in his house and get cleaned up. John looks a mess, but he's gonna be all right. Caleb's mama asks if I'm okay, if I want to come on inside. No, I say. I have to go home and let Mama know what happened. I don't say nothing to Caleb. I just give him a weak smile. Me? I'm feeling lucky he came along like he did. John's always talking about how black I am. Well, I'm still the blackest thing in school, and it was me that saved his butt today. People are helping John inside Caleb's house, like he's some baby learning to walk. I take myself home. I don't have to tell Mama much. The story gets to her before I walk in the door. She says she was just about to come for me. She makes me tell her that story 3 times before she lets me go to my room. After I'm there a while, Mama knocks on my door. A letter just came for you. It's from the library. You owe them money? She asks softly. I push open the bedroom door before Mama says another word. I snatch the envelope out of her hands. Dear Miss Madison, congratulations! The 3rd Annual Young Writers Committee at the Martin Malcolm Library is pleased to announce you as the winner of this year's contest. I show Mama the letter. The letter goes on and on about how many people entered and how they're gonna put my writing on display in the library lobby for a whole month. I stand there a while, fingering the puffed-up gold letters at the top of the page and reading the letter over and over again. Mama and me both look at each other. All of a sudden, Mama starts crying. Crying big, fat tears. I don't have to ask her why. I know. We both wishing Daddy was here for the good stuff and the bad. Chapter 29. Mama went right out and bought a frame for my congratulations letter. Together we hung the letter up in my room, next to Daddy's poem, which we also put in a frame. I spent the rest of the day trying to figure out what to do about Char. Maybe I'll call Charlize and tell her I'm sorry, but I gotta tell. Or I'll tell Char that I accidentally told on her. Or I'll tell her the janitor said he saw her. I stomp my feet. Char ain't gonna believe none of that. She's gonna kick my butt if I tell. You would think after beating those boys off John, I wouldn't be afraid of nothing or nobody. But I'm scared like nobody's business. I'm sitting here on the bed rocking. Rocking and sucking my thumb like I did when I was 5. Like I do when I get in real trouble and can't figure my way out. I don't have no choice. I gotta tell. Then the phone rings. Hi, girlfriend, Charlize says, all sweet. How you doing? At first, she makes some small talk about John getting beat up. I'm half listening. My hands are shaking. I'm so scared, I almost dropped the phone.
I take in a long breath and start to tell Char that I'm going to admit that she made me do everything. But then Char says, "Me and the twins been talking. We will bring $100 to your house today. That's the best we can do." I suck in my breath and say real fast, "I'm sorry, I gotta do this, Char, but y'all don't leave me no choice. I didn't mess up the classroom by myself, so I shouldn't be the only one in trouble and the only one suspended from school. So I'm telling it was your idea and that you made me light that fire. I know you're gonna be mad, but that's how it goes, Char." At first, Charlize don't say nothing. She's just breathing. "I knew you'd punk out on me," she says finally. "I knew it. I... Shut up," Char screams. "I'm talking." Then all of a sudden, Char starts laughing. Really laughing. The hard kind of laughing that makes your stomach hurt. "I knew not to trust you. That's why I stole Miss Saunders' watch and slipped it into the slits of your locker," Char says, and busts out laughing again. "And when they searched your locker, guess what?" She laughs. "They found the watch. So they really think you did it now." She laughs for the longest time. "Now tell on me, and I will personally kick your skinny black butt, Malika Madison," Char says. "And I won't be by myself, either. You hear me?" I shake my head yes, like Char can see me. But she knows my answer, because she don't wait around to even hear what it is. Just laughs some more and hangs up the phone. I walk over to my bed and start rocking. They're expelling me from school. They think I'm a thief and a firebug. I close my eyes and rock some more. I rock till my insides are calm and peaceful. Chapter 30. When I'm feeling better, I look at the library letter hanging on the wall next to Daddy's poem and the picture of me and him together. I can't even keep the money I won. I have to give it to the school to pay for that mess. Char don't know, and she don't care. All she wants is for me to keep my mouth quiet about her. She's standing over me, getting louder and louder. Then the doorbell rings. Somebody rings three short, quick times like they're nervous. By the fourth ring, Mama yells for me to get it. She's got her hands full in the kitchen, she says. When I open the door, Miss Saunders is standing there. "Malika," she says, stretching out her arm and showing me her watch. "You've got some explaining to do." My eyes get big and my mouth opens wide. Before Miss Saunders says another word, Mama walks up, holds me close, and tells Miss Saunders to come in. Mama's talking a lot. She keeps going back and forth between the living room and the kitchen. Tea, sugar, homemade biscuits, honey. It seems like Mama will never sit down. When she finally does, Miss Saunders brings up me and my situation. Right away, Mama finds another reason to head to the kitchen. Miss Saunders talks anyway. "Rumors are going around the school," she says. "Everyone is saying you had help, that it was Charlize's idea to destroy my classroom." I let her keep talking. I pick at a scab on my hand. "I'm here to get the truth from you firsthand, to say no matter what. We can work this out, Malika." My eyes shift from Miss Saunders to the floor. "We need to talk about this, Malika." "Ain't nothing to talk about," I finally say. "I did it. That's that." "Not alone, you didn't. Everyone knows that." "Who helped you?" "Listen, Miss Saunders, some kids dared me to do it. Said they'd pay me $25 if I did. I needed the money, that's all. I say, digging at the scab, drawing blood from the dry, hard shell. Malika, once you told me that you could be trusted to keep a secret. My secret. And you did. I know you did. Now I'm asking you to trust me. Miss Saunders turns my way and takes off her jacket. She rolls up the sleeves of her blouse. She reaches her hand out and takes my hand. Trust me with the truth, and I promise everything will be okay, she says softly. I snatch my hand away. I said what happened. Why does everybody keep bothering me? Just leave me alone, I say to her. Miss Saunders sighs and lets my hand drop. She puts her jacket back on and lets herself out. Chapter 31. I go to school the next day. Miss Saunders has arranged for me to come back. She asks me to meet her in a classroom before school starts. When I arrive, Char is there. Miss Saunders is not wearing a suit. She's got on blue jeans. Miss Saunders is saying something, but I can't make out just what. She and Char are talking at the same time. Char's going on and on about how she didn't have nothing to do with messing up Miss Saunders' room. Miss Saunders is telling me to tell her the whole truth. I want to tell her that the truth will get my butt kicked good. That if I open my big mouth, ain't nothing she or Mama can do to keep Charlize from getting me back. Only I don't say nothing. I just keep my mouth shut. Charlize looks scared, like she's gonna cry. I never seen that before. I figured that maybe she didn't have no tears. All the while, Char's eyes are saying I better take the blame or else. I am so tired of being scared, of doing what other folks want me to. Char throws mean words at me, words as hard as bricks. You better not punk out on me, she says. Tears start to roll from my eyes. Malika, you know what Juju will do to me if I get kicked out of school. Juju will kick Char's butt good. That's another reason why I can't tell. I'm rocking and thinking and crying. Miss Saunders is very quiet. She's listening and watching. She puts a gentle hand on my shoulder. If I get in trouble for you, you gonna have to move to another neighborhood, Char is saying. I keep on rocking and crying. I'm thinking about the boys who tried to kiss me and the ones I whipped when I helped John John. I start thinking about Akilma, too. Now Miss Saunders has her arm around me, and it sure feels good to have her here. She's letting Char speak her mind. All I've done for you, Char says. You gonna leave me out to dry like this? Wait till later, you ugly, stupid black thing. Call me by my name, I hear Akilma say, and I scream it out, too. Call me by my name. I am not ugly. I am not stupid. I am Malika Madison, and yeah, I'm black, real black. And if you don't like me, too bad, 'cause black is the skin I'm in, I yell. No matter what you think, Charlize Jones, you're 10 times worse. I would never force someone to burn down a classroom or pick on kids weaker than me or say words so mean they make people bleed inside. I'm rocking and crying and rocking. You the one who pushed me to mess up Miss Saunders' room. And you were in on it too, you and the twins. I say, feeling relieved. Charlize gives me a hard look. She pushes past Miss Saunders and me and makes her way to the door. Look at you two, two ugly-faced losers, she says. Miss Saunders don't even stop Char. She lets her go.
Then Miss Saunders hugs me to her, and I feel safe inside.
Chapter 32.
A week passes. Raina and Raisa have been suspended, and nobody's seen Char. When the twins return, they tell everybody that Juju sent Char to live with her grandparents in Alabama. Kids are still saying how jive I am for squealing on Char. But I don't care. Char can't hurt me now. Mr. Pajoli says my office job is over, that I've paid enough dues by telling the truth about Char. I hunch my shoulders up like I don't care about the office. But deep down inside, I feel kind of bad. I was starting to really like it. And I missed working there when I was suspended. As I'm leaving the office, Caleb is standing by my locker. He turns all red when I ask what he's doing. "I was just leaving," he says, handing me a purple letter with gold writing on it. "Wait till I'm gone before you open it, all right?" I nod and watch him go to class. I duck into the girls' room, drop the backpack on the floor, and open the letter real slow. Spearmint. It smells like spearmint gum. I take the gum out and put it in my mouth before I read the letter. It's a poem. For me. To Malika, my sweet dark chocolate candy girl. Would you be my almond joy, my chocolate chip, my Hershey kiss, my sweet dark chocolate butter crisp? Hand in hand, we'd walk to class and sit and talk in sweet green grass. Roller coaster way up high, pick moonbeams from out the sky. Would you be my almond joy, my chocolate chip, my Hershey kiss, my sweet dark chocolate butter crisp? Caleb's poem makes me cry. It is so sweet. I look at my face in the mirror and smile. I promise myself to hang Caleb's poem on the wall with Daddy's and the one from the library. On the way to class, I see Caleb. He is still red-faced. Even his ears are red. My heart is beating fast, but I go up to him anyway. "That is the nicest thing anybody ever did for me," I say, with this goofy smile on my face. And we stand there, me twisting a pencil in my hands and him twisting one of his braids over and over again. "You two supposed to be somewhere?" Mr. Braxton, the gym teacher, asks. "Yeah," we both say. "I'm going to Miss Saunders' class," I say. "And I'm on my way to math class," says Caleb. "Well, get there, now," Mr. Braxton's pointing. "I'll walk you to Miss Saunders' room. It's on my way," Caleb says, still twisting his hair. I take his letter and put it in my backpack, and we walk down the hall together. I close my eyes for a second and take a deep breath. Caleb always smells so fresh and clean. That's another thing I like about him. When I finally walk into class, everybody's staring at me like I got two heads. I'm late, but Miss Saunders doesn't make an issue of it today. Class is in the detention room while Miss Saunders' room is being repaired. Miss Saunders has given us 20 pages of Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves to read by tomorrow and telling us she'd been easy on us so far, but things are about to heat up. "Welcome back, Miss Madison," Miss Saunders says, giving me a wink. "Class wouldn't be the same unless you were late." Everybody laughs and turns my way. "Yeah," John John says. "Welcome back."
The End. You've been listening to The Skin I'm In by Sharon Flake, narrated by Cece Aisha Johnson. This book is copyrighted 1998 by Sharon Flake. This recording is copyrighted 2004 by Recorded Books. If you've enjoyed this book and this performance, Recorded Books recommends The Secret of Gumbo Grove by Eleanora E. Tate, narrated by Kim Staunton. When Raisin helps to clean up the church cemetery, she discovers a real-life mystery that no one wants to talk about. And Spitting Image by Shuddha Krum, narrated by Julia Gibson. In the 1960s, when Jesse meets Miss Woodruff, a soldier in President Johnson's war on poverty, she has no idea that her life and those of her neighbors are about to change, whether they like it or not. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.